Well, good evening. There's quite a few people here. We are the Riders. My name is Joey, and this is my wife, Christian. We've been married for almost 6 years now and have one son, Eli, who is 8 months old. I think we have a picture of him, or a couple pictures for you. Many of you have seen him greeting with us at the front. But before we get started, let me pray for our time. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day and thank you for this time where we get to focus on our marriages. And I just ask that this testimony be your words and not ours. And thank you for your son. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, I'll start by giving you a little background about me. I grew up just north of here in Denton. My parents divorced when I was 2, but lived near each other, so I was able to spend time with both my mom and my dad as I grew up. While growing up under the leadership of my single mom, I learned how to be extremely independent and emotionally closed off, as well as how to avoid conflict, all of which have plagued our relationship over the years. In my house, we didn't talk about our feelings. They were just understood. The words, "I love you," were rarely spoken, but I knew that I was loved. Any conflicts we had were resolved by leaving the situation and never mentioning it again. We didn't attend church as a family, but by the grace of God, I became very involved in the church throughout high school, and it was there where I developed a very strong foundation for my faith.
And I grew up going to church, but I never really understood God's love for me. I was very performance-driven as a child. And I always did what others expected of me. This led to people-pleasing, control issues, and lust, among other coping mechanisms. This continued through college, where lust became a bigger issue. And a little bit about us. Christian and I met while we were in college through a mutual friend who enjoyed playing matchmaker. Our relationship didn't really formulate until we were both in the mutual friend's wedding. While sitting next to her at the rehearsal dinner, one of my more romantic gestures, I commented on the large amount of food that she had just consumed. Which, I mean, needless to say, it was love at first sight. And I think we've got a picture of the moment pre-comment. Yeah, the top corner there, left. And while I was still in college at Texas A&M, all right, I got a few. And Christian was working in Richardson, we started dating. During this time, I was spiraling downward in a vicious cycle of lust and shame. I was very isolated on this topic with others, which made things worse. I had a poor relationship with Christ and was using lust and alcohol to numb the hopelessness I felt. All of this led to cheating on Christian during a summer internship. After telling her what had happened, we were both heartbroken. But I knew that I loved her and didn't want to give up on the relationship. And somehow, by God's amazing grace, she didn't give up either.
So while all of this was happening, I was completely and totally clueless. I was enjoying my corporate life during the week and then playing girlfriend on the weekend. And quite frankly, I was enjoying a couple of extra seasons of football games. Even though I hadn't found a church home in Dallas, I was deeply connected to a group of godly women I had met in college. I was very much in control of my life, or so I thought. I was able to do what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted, and life was good. Conversations with Joey remained pretty surface level. Joey actually asked me to do a Bible study with him when we very first started dating, and I refused. I thought that one-on-one prayer and Bible study should be reserved for serious couples, and that was not us, at least in my mind. I was not ready to open myself up to the deep connection that could happen as a result. There's nothing quite like shooting down your future husband's first attempt to lead spiritually to set the tone for the entire relationship. As our relationship progressed toward marriage, I still remained very much in control. After Joey told me what happened during the summer internship, I experienced a pain that I had never felt before. Even though I felt like I was able to forgive Joey, I struggled to trust him and still felt pain when something reminded me of the situation. Once we were married, I had a hard time sharing this feeling with girls in my community because I interpreted their response to mean that I hadn't truly forgiven Joey. I then felt guilty because I entered into a marriage with someone I couldn't truly forgive. I didn't talk to Joey about my feelings because I knew it would make him feel guilty all over again, and I didn't really know how to express my emotions in a healthy way. I would stuff my feelings to the side as long as I could, and then withdraw as the feelings grew stronger until I'd finally explode on Joey. As time has passed, I've been able to experience freedom in this area. I've realized that rather than forgetting what has happened, forgiveness is remembering your commitment to forgive, even when feelings of hurt return. And I can say that as time has passed, the pain has decreased, and I can trust comes much more easily now.
And before getting married, I'd been to numerous counseling sessions, and we even attended premarital counseling here. But there were many issues under the surface that hadn't been addressed. I was a poor leader, still lustful, hadn't broken that chain yet, selfish, and withdrew from most difficult situations. It wasn't until going to Celebrate Recovery, which is now called Regeneration, that I truly began to turn a corner. I began to share the deep, dark past that I thought nobody could ever hear about without being revolted. I began to experience God's grace through the men in CR.
So I thought the early days of our marriage were really fun. We enjoyed spending time together, but lacked oneness. Sharing my feelings was extremely uncomfortable, even with my husband. When it came to conflict, I was either a peace faker or a peace breaker, depending on the situation. I kind of tended toward a cycle of withdrawing and isolating until seemingly out of nowhere I exploded. The further we traveled down the road of marriage, the more I wanted Joey to be a strong leader for our family, but I had absolutely no idea how to express that to him, much less how to be a helpmate to him. The turning point for me was in December of 2011 when we experienced a miscarriage. When I told Joey what had happened, he immediately asked if we could pray. It was the only time I could remember praying together since we got married. It was awkward and humbling. It was then when I realized that I was going to have to put aside my selfishness or we would forever be coexisting in a marriage, not really being fully known by one another. I knew we weren't experiencing the marriage the way God had designed it, but I didn't know what to do about it.
Now, during Reengage, we learned more about each other through talking with other couples. Since I tend to withdraw, it was good to hear that other couples struggled with the same issues. We started to communicate more effectively. Following Jesus closely was humbling. Areas where I didn't really want to change, he was working. By God's power, things like resolving conflict and pursuing Christian were put ahead of myself. Not that we're there yet. It's a day-by-day process. But as Philippians 3:13 and 14 say, "Brother, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus."
So God was and still is working in my heart, showing me ways to be a helpmate to Joey and breaking me of the need to control everything. Communicating my feelings doesn't come naturally, but I know that in my weakness, God has the opportunity to display his power. Just saying the words, "How can I pray for you this week?" has been huge in our marriage. It opens up the door for us to be fully known by each other. Another thing, Joey also initiated having a time set aside each week to check in with each other, which makes it a little less awkward to talk about our feelings. I'm not saying we're ready to lead a communications conference, or that I easily fall under Joey's leadership, but we're making the choice to move in the right direction day by day. We are surrounded by community that spurs us on toward oneness. A verse that I'm reminded of constantly is 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." There's so much in this verse. The devil is my enemy, not Joey, and he is looking for someone to devour. I want to be careful not to become lazy or think that because things are going well right now, I can let my guard down. The scripture tells us to always be on alert, to continue leading ourselves well and working toward oneness, to be surrounded by community that can also be looking out for ways where Satan can gain a foothold.
Now, we communicate much better, but it is, like I say, a process, and every day is different. Also, realizing that I was not keeping the peace by ignoring things, kind of that laid-back attitude, I thought, oh, nothing really matters. I mean, it's not a big deal, but it was a big deal. Let's see, where was I? Leadership can't be passive, or at least not for me. I have to take a chance. And most of all, God has shown me how selfish and lazy I am, seeing that Seeing this has put things into perspective in terms of how things are prioritized to run well and not aimlessly. As 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others I myself should be disqualified." So in a relationship that started off with a cheating spouse, isolation, and poor relational habits, God created something better. There is hope, no matter the situation. God can change hearts and minds. When you have troubles, don't try to hide it. Talk to your community. Do it quickly and be honest with yourself. Don't let Satan fool you into thinking that you are the only ones who have those problems. Don't let laziness and comfort seeking control how you lead. For example, should I pray with my wife or keep watching TV? That's a constant battle. I learned it's about small steps, or I might feel overwhelmed with the big picture. So take that step that God has called you to take. It won't be as bad as you think.
I think we have one more picture. This is our example of what not to do, things that don't move you toward oneness. Don't assume that your wife knows she needs to put the guard on when you hand her the clippers and say, "Trim up my hair." This happened really fast, and I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Honestly, I laughed so hard I cried. Thankfully, Joey was a good sport. So that's just our what not to do. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.